And welcome back. It will be 47 years Sunday since the completion of construction of the Gateway Arch. This iconic symbol of the city is known around the world. A special program is going to be held Saturday commemorating the event and will include several people involved in the project. With me in studio to talk about the event and recollections of the construction of the arch are photographer Eldon Ortega. He helped document that project. Liz Forrestal is VP of Programs and Partnerships for the Jefferson National Parks Association. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you.
We have to say 47 years. Doesn't time fly when you're having fun? Eldon, let me begin with you. What do you think of when you drive past the arch these days after all these years? Do you have particular thoughts that cross your mind?
Well, when I pass by that, I think how lucky we are in St. Louis to have something of that caliber. Because when I was a young kid, my dad had a business downtown on always on Memorial Drive and Walnut Street there. And nobody came through St. Louis because there was cobblestone there and the buildings were tore down. And no stores open or anything. It was just dull, you know. Yeah. Then when I ride by the arch now, I thought what it brought, and I think of all the people that were on that job. They were very close friends of mine. And I think about Quigley putting the last section in, and I get all of these guys that used to be my very best friends. Think about them every time I go by.
And Liz, you must have very much different thoughts because you're certainly not old enough to remember those days.
You flatter me, Mr. Marsh. I hate to say it, but I was around when they put the Keystone in. However, yeah, our organization, Jefferson National Parks Association, really sponsors this event to commemorate this great monument. And I think St. Louisans, and I count myself among them, are fairly blasé about this structure. We see it every day, as Eldon says. We know it's beautiful. We often don't visit ourselves. We may take out-of-towners there, but I think we overlook what a fabulous structure it is, how beautiful it is, what it memorializes, and the fact that it's America's tallest national monument.
And it is indeed. And by the way, you say people have become blasé. Mm-hmm. Let's find out if they are. We'll give our numbers, 382-8255, asking folks of their recollections of the early days of the arch or the days since. And are you blasé about our arch? 382-8255 is the number. That's 382-TALK. Email us at talk at stlpublicradio.org. Send us a tweet at STL on air or also reach us through Facebook. One of the things that I have to bring up, because it was in the news just a couple of weeks ago, is that apparently some organization out there has pretty much put the downer on the arch, saying it's not one of the landmarks, national landmarks that most people here think that it is. What does that do to people like you, Liz, when you read that?
Well, you can imagine we disagree. I mean, we know the importance of what it memorializes, the fact that Jefferson's dream of expanding the West really began right here, and America would hardly be the country it is without that event and all the people that came through St. Louis area and moved west and followed their dreams. So we know about the importance of that event and those many decades of our country. But I think that St. Louis really needs to rally around this structure and rally around the National Park Service and all the good work that it does, because it is a rallying cry. Whenever you travel, and all of us do, if people say, where are you from? You say St. Louis, they say, oh, I want to go see that arch, or oh, I've been to the arch. I mean, it is part and parcel of our town now.
Eldon, what do you think when you hear that it's called underrated, an underrated landmark?
Well, that was my favorite thing. It changed my whole life, the arch did. When I met all the people that I have met, well, I even got a book over here that shows the president that came to St. Louis to see that. They were just amazed at the structure, and it is just unbelievable.
Were you concerned at all about whether or not when they put the final pieces together at the top that they... they're going to meet the way they're supposed to?
Well, I knew the guys, the engineers in charge, Kenny Kochmeyer, who's still around yet, and Gordon Warner and those guys, that they knew exactly what they were doing. They had pedestals that they put the theodolite scopes on and did all the readings. And when the final part got ready to go up, they were talking about doing it at nighttime. And what happened, Mayor Cervantes heard about that. So he called everybody to his office and says, what's this I hear about nighttime? He says, hey, this is the most historical thing for St. Louis, and I'm not letting you put it up at night. So you all say, well, you're not, hey, you're not putting it up at night. So then he gave the decree. It was on a Tuesday, on the 26th, or whatever, I think it was Tuesday. And he says, okay, as close to dawn as possible on the 28th, we'll do it in the morning. So that's when they had everything all ready to go. And when that 9:35 national anthem started and that piece went up, you could just feel the goose pimples all over. Everybody went crazy.
One of our family's very dear friends, Art Whitman, whom I suspect
know,
did a lot of photography there for the Post-Dispatch at the time. And the stories he used to tell about scrambling over that structure as it was going up, I mean, they were like monkeys climbing over this thing. Were you part of that?
I used to climb on it all the time. Back in those days, you didn't have any tie-downs. And then when the people see this one picture that I have right here,
don't forget, this is radio.
Imagine, if you will.
Yeah, right here on the top.
The very top, yes. Yeah, workers.
One of those guys is your friend right here in the front.
Yep, I'm sure it is. But people can't see this picture, unfortunately. But what it is, it shows people on the top of the arch during the final phase of construction. However, it is taken from above and behind the arch.
My dad did a helicopter. He came by and shot that.
Yeah.
And yet these guys didn't wear harnesses. They weren't tied down. I mean, this was a totally different day. And, you know, when we meet these people today, you have to realize the bravery it took. I mean, even going up there harnessed and tied down now would be a feat.
Was anybody hurt during construction?
No, yeah. No. No lives were lost. That's also an incredible story.
Liz, why did it take it? According to my calculations, it took as long a period of time to build the arch, or to open the arch, officially open the arch, as it took to build it, about a year and a half, roughly.
Right.
Why did it take so long before it was actually open to the public?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we talk about the time it takes to put it up, but it really wasn't open for several years. There is an incredible amount of excavation, as you can imagine, beneath the land upon which the arch sits. And it is a riverbed, let's be honest.
Sure.
And that was also an engineering feat. The installation of the trams that still go up, these are the original trams that are 40, a little over 40 years old, that go up and down and take people up to the very top. That, too, was an engineering feat. That's the very first. It's the world's first and only tram. It's essentially an elevator that goes up and sideways, if you can imagine. It's kind of a cross between an elevator and a roller coaster. That, too, was celebrated as a one-of-a-kind. So all of that engineering inside was just about as daunting a job as putting it up itself.
Sure. So it took as long to get the inside ready.
Right.
What about the corrosion problem today? I mean, how is that being handled?
Well, the Park Service is the kind of go-to agency. It is their, of course, building and their land. Therefore, it belongs to all of us. But the Park Service is aware of this, some of the staining. It is not the stainless steel, from what I understand. It's not the sections themselves that are – because it remains stainless, as it says. It is no doubt part of some of the original rivets that are still intact and structurally strong. But from what I understand, the Park Service is going to have probably sometime next year engineers scale the structure itself, do some actual metallurgy and testing, and figure out the best way to take care of it. But it certainly it is not at all a structural issue with the arch. It's going to be here for a long, long time.
Ellen, that'll be another great opportunity for some pictures for you.
I've got a son right now named Bradley. He was born a year after the arch was up, and he's in his about 46 now.
That would be about right.
And he's a photographer, and he does all kinds of things. Every time he goes by the arch in the helicopter, he shoots a picture like my dad used to. And one thing I wanted to bring up here I brought this morning was where people ask about it, and they don't know where it's at, is that time capsule that was put into the structure. Okay. And the night before they put this thing in, you had all the people sign, the mayor and all kinds of school kids sign it in their different locations in St. Louis. And they put into this capsule that's shown right here. It's about
don't forget, this is radio, Ellen.
Yeah, I know. It's about 9 inches high. by about 6 inches wide, and it's 8 feet long, and it's stuck right between the exterior and the interior walls of the arch.
We have a caller from St. Louis who wants to talk about the time capsule. Let's bring Steve into the conversation. Steve, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I have two recollections of the arch, and one is of the time capsule. At the time, I was in junior high school and Parkway South, and they had sent around a roster of, just lines, and everyone in my history class signed their name to that to go into the time capsule. And I was curious as a follow-up, whenever that time capsule is going to be open, if there's a date set for that. And my second recollection was, by the time it opened, old enough to drive, and my best friend Bill and I went down there. It was February of 68. We were in the observation deck, and it had snowed the night before, and someone with their feet had imprinted a message in the snow that said, ever hear of Ball and Arches?
Whoa.
Okay.
Okay, but I was curious, though, when is that time capsule there for eternity, or is there a time when it's going to be opened?
I'll tell you what a capsule is. If you stood by the river with the Eads Bridge to your right shoulder, and you look up to those windows, and you count to 7 and 8 window from the north leg of the arch, which is closest to the Eads Bridge, it's right at the person's feet as you look towards East St. Louis. So that's where it's been all this time.
I don't think the time capsule will be open until the day the arch is taken down, and we hope that's a very, very long time.
Well, we have a caller who wants to talk about that, too. But I have a note here from our producer, Alex Hoyer, reminding us that we had a guest recent on the program who says the arch does St. Louis a disservice. The symbolism is leaving St. Louis, not coming to it. The gateway to the West is about going someplace else. What do you think about that, Liz?
Well, it is, in fact, a gateway, symbolic of a gateway. It does, in fact, imply going somewhere else because it does memorialize the reason Eero Saarinen, the architect's vision, was realized and his was chosen from the competition back in the 50s. The reason the arch shape was symbolic and appropriate is because it does symbolize a movement, a leaving, if you will. But I'd hate to assign that symbolism to people leaving St. Louis. And I think it's all in the eye of the beholder. I prefer to see it as symbolizing a past migration and to memorialize St. Louis and its importance.
And, of course, if you're traveling west to east, it can also
there
symbolize
you
coming home.
It's a two-way street. Thank you, Don.
All right. Let's go to Baden now and bring Lawrence into the conversation. Lawrence, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. And let's all be glad and rejoice and thank whatever gods we believe in, that it was built at the time it was built. That if it fell over today in some tragedy, it would not, I hate to be negative, I just can't see it being rebuilt for a variety of reasons, and I'm going to drop it right now. I have a suggestion, and I don't know if you all have been doing this over these years down the arch. The creation of an ultimate archive about the arch, not just all the great photography, but the arch in modern culture, pop culture, etc. It's been in movies. It's been in a lot of things. There's been drawings of it after the apocalypse. I would just love to see on the 50th anniversary that somewhere down there underneath the arch and maybe out at the History Museum, you had a decent archive of everything. Newsreel footage from the stations, which I hope they still have. I just heard recently that well-known radio station St. Louis is getting rid of their archives because they don't have space. So now is the time to act on this. And if you could maybe discuss, I just don't think the arch would be replaced today. I just can't see it.
Lawrence,
I'm really glad it's here. It's a great symbol, and I mean people can say what they want about its leaving or that. It's a great piece of sculpture.
Let us get some response because time's getting away from it. What do you think, Liz?
Sure. Well, to your second point, should there be a celebration of the archival record, I guess you're saying, with the various companies, organizations that use the arch as a logo, we all see them every day, to the history and the recording of the history of the building of the arch. We are, all of us who work with the Park Service, all our organizations and groups, are really cognizant of the fact that we want a fabulous celebration in 2015, and there is a inevitable committee forming to do just that and to take suggestions like this, and I love it. I think you're absolutely right, to take suggestions on how we can celebrate it in art, in archival remembrance, and in plans for St. Louis's future and taking off. I think that's a fabulous idea.
And I saw some figures, too, by the way, and you'll have them more accurately than I will. That cost about, what, $19 million to build the arch,
yes,
something like
right.
that. And in today's dollars, that would have been about $93 million. Ooh. So to his point about mm-hmm. redoing it, it would be a very, very expensive project.
It would certainly do, and it wasn't the Park Service that built it, but they were involved in it. Would that entity be the one, God forbid, if we'd ever have to reproduce something like this? I think there are still great American projects like this in the future. I would hate to say that we would not have the community will to get that done.
Let's bring in Chuck calling from downtown. You mentioned artwork, for instance, and mm-hmm. I think he wants to talk about that, too. Go ahead, Chuck.
Okay. Don and your guest, thank you very much for the program today. My uncle was a steam fitter that was working on the arch, and I have no idea why they would need a steam fitter that high up on the structure, but he was up there at a time when an artist was painting the activity. And I believe the picture was in one of the newspapers in St. Louis, of an artist painting from atop the arch. And my uncle is standing behind him with kind of a smirk on his face. But they had no fear up there.
No.
All right. Thanks. Thank you for the call, Chuck. I suppose if they have any kind of a heating apparatus at the top, that's where the steam fitters would come in.
I can't imagine. Elton, do you know?
Well, the pipe fitters.
Here, turn to the microphone, Elton.
The pipe fitters did a lot of work on the pieces going up with the heating and cooling apparatus that goes up to the top. That's what the pipe fitters did. Yeah,
that's what that was all about. We have time for another call, I think. Jim in University City, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
My point is that the arch, it would certainly not be rebuilt the way it is, because remember the first part of the arch was the take care of the riverfront, which had become an eyesore. And if we'd had a different vision like they had in Minneapolis, where they've saved their mill industry, they even saved their waterfall, which is the only waterfall on the Mississippi River. And I was up there recently, and I had a vision. What would the arch grounds be if they had saved some of the riverfront with all its history, and maybe had a slightly different sculpture than the arch?
Hmm. Well,
we've heard that too, and I see your point. I was just in Minneapolis myself last week, and this is this is still a controversial subject, and the fact that 90 acres were carved out of an existing waterfront, I think Elton described perfectly the fact that it was really there were a lot of crumbling buildings and not a very exciting piece of St. Louis's history was taken away. There are always comments about how did it get done. That we kind of scraped the riverfront clean. Should that have been done? Would it be done again? You're absolutely right that would have to be taken into consideration. I mean, there are historic structures. What one man's history is another man's, fallen apart. So, point taken.
Let's hope the arch lasts longer than some of the bridges up there in Minneapolis.
That's true.
But the Laclede's Landing has still got a lot of the buildings exactly like was in the riverfront. So if you look at those, sometimes they look a little rough, but they're pretty. And
It's all part of the history. In the time we have left, which is just a couple of minutes, Liz, tell us about what's happening on Saturday. A lot of memorabilia and a lot of veterans from the building.
Oh, you bet. We're excited. Every year around the anniversary of the building, which is October 28th, we do have an annual event, for the last 10 years at least, called Meet the Builders. And Elden will be among 24 or 5 gentlemen, all men, who worked on the arch at some point, either for a very long time or just for a small piece. But they are invited to come meet the public at the base of the arch in the lobby from 9 a.m. to 11:30. The public is invited to get there early. It is free. It is family friendly, but get there early because essentially it's a series of tables with these great gentlemen who are sitting with their memorabilia. Some of them bring artifacts from the day. Some of them bring newspaper articles showing themselves. We get a lot of architecture students who are interested in just talking to them. And then you can have them autograph a poster, or we have construction helmets for sale. And there are activities. You know, kids can build their own arch with help from each other. So it's just a lot of fun, and it's really a way to show respect for the structure and for these great guys.
That's from 9 to 11:30 on Saturday to meet people involved at the Arch Visitor Center.
That's right.
In 30 seconds, but it's got to be 30 seconds. Tell me, what are you going to bring as part of your memorabilia? I'm guessing photos.
Well, I'm going to bring photographs, and that camera I just brought in to bring here this morning, an old 4x5 crown graphic I did all these pictures with. In today's society, it looks like some from outer space because they only take two pictures. Where you can, with the weight of that film holder, now you can probably do 3,000 and more.
Sure.
And more.
Sure. Well, folks, a lot of memories will be revived on Saturday from 9 to 11:30 at the Visitor Center at the Arch. Liz Forrest, well, thank you so much for being with us.
Sure.
Great to see you again. And Eldon Ortega, good to see you. Thanks for bringing all this stuff with you. Again, we'll take a look at that when we're off the air. But thank you both very much.
Sure.
A reminder, by the way, we've been talking a lot of politics this week, that you can find more information about the current election cycle at beyondnovember.org, a collaboration of St. Louis Public Radio, The Beacon, and the Nine Network of Public Media. Join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape, and he'll talk about the Black Reps production of Ann and Emmett and about Barbara Harbach's new Civil War symphony, and also about a concert of music by 20th century American composers. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with Dave Spence, the Republican candidate for governor of Missouri. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr and Ariana Tobin. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.